This morning, we are going to begin a new series of messages on the book of Jonah. Now, Jonah is a small Old Testament book. It just has 48 verses and 4 short chapters. But the messages found in this book are truly life-changing, because every word in this small book is the Word of God. And just as Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, we're going to be exploring this book in two different ways. The first way is that we will be going through the book verse by verse, just as we've done with other books of the Bible. And the reason we do this is it helps us to get to know the whole book in the order in which God inspired it. But then we will also take some time throughout the book to explore some important messages and themes that run throughout the book. Because Jonah is also a masterful piece of literature in which some topics and themes are dealt with throughout the whole book. Now, this treatment of the book of Jonah will take some time, and that is important as well, I believe, because all too often when we come to one of these shorter books or one of these books that we think that we're familiar with, we rush through them just to get them read. But this book, especially, the book of Jonah, a book that we do think we know well, I believe will reward us for not just reading it, but also lingering and meditating over these inspired words. So in the first verse of this book of Jonah, we meet a man named Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, we read this: "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying..." Now just who is this Jonah? Well, we first meet Jonah not here in the book which carries his name, but in the book of 2 Kings, which is a book of history, which tells us a bit more about Jonah. So, to begin our series on Jonah, we're actually going to go first to 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 14, where we find Israel, the people of God, split into two opposing nations. Now, after the successful and prosperous reigns of King David and King Solomon, as a consequence to the sins of those kings and the people, two separate nations were then formed. There was a northern kingdom, which consisted of 10 tribes of Israel, which was actually called Israel, and the city of Samaria was their capital city and also the place they would go for worship. There was also a southern kingdom, which consisted of the two remaining tribes of Israel and was known as Judah. And Jerusalem remained their capital city and place of worship. And 150 years after this split had taken place, we find in the northern kingdom of Israel a new king by the name of Jeroboam. And during his reign, we read this from 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. "In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and reigned 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin." We learn here in these verses that although Jeroboam, who this Jeroboam would be known as Jeroboam the Second, that although Jeroboam the Second was the longest reigning king over the northern kingdom of Israel for 41 years, it says, yet he remained a wicked king. But still, God, out of nothing but grace, granted this wicked king a measure of success. And we read of this success in verse 25 of 2 Kings 14. It says that he, Jeroboam II, restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the Sea of the Plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah. Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. And this, in this verse, is where we first meet Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. So what is it that we can learn about Jonah in this brief biography? Well, we're going to see that Jonah was a gifted prophet of God, who at this stage of his ministry was faithfully using what God gave him to fulfill God's plan. Gifts. What were some of those gifts that God gave to Jonah, his prophet? Well, the first gift that we see is the gift of privilege. The gift of privilege. Jonah was a man of great privilege. Why? Because of the holy office that he was given. The office we find and we learn about there in verse 25 of 2 Kings 14. His office was the office of prophet. He was the prophet. Now, a prophet in the Old Testament was an ambassador for God. He was literally a spokesperson for God. And to be a prophet of the one true God was a great privilege, because a prophet got to hear the very words of God. And then that same prophet would speak the word of God to others. And Jonah was one of God's prophets. What a great privilege he had. And with this privilege, it came with a special call. Now, the office of a prophet was not something that a man would choose for himself. No, it was God who chose the person that he wanted to be his prophet. And then God would prepare that person that he chose. And then finally, God would give that person a very special call, just like the call God gave to another prophet by the name of Jeremiah. You don't need to turn there, but in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Jeremiah describes for us this amazing, gracious call that God gave him. He says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, Jeremiah, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." What a privilege it was to be called as a prophet of God. And Jonah received that special call himself. It wasn't just a special call that Jonah received, but he also had some special companions. Now, from what we learn in 2 Kings 14, Jonah would have been a young man during the ministry of another one of God's great prophets to the northern kingdom. And that prophet, his name was Elisha. And during the ministry of Elisha, there was formed a special school of the prophets, where men, other men, who received God's call to serve as a prophet, could then receive further training, kind of like a seminary. They would receive help and support in their ministry. And it is likely that Jonah would have been one of those young prophets. And he, too, would have enjoyed the fellowship and instruction of other faithful, godly men, including Elisha. And here in 2 Kings, Jonah the prophet would use the privileges given to him by God in order to serve God. What a privilege. But what about you? What is it that you do with the privileges you have been given by God? You might ask, well, what privileges have I received? I was never called to be a prophet. But what about just the privilege this morning to be here? Just to be here and to hear God's word. How many people in this world are not able to hear the word of God preached and taught in freedom and in comfort like we are today? What a privilege! Or even the privilege just to know and to believe in Jesus Christ and know that you are on your way to heaven when you die, and know that you will have fellowship with God forever in heaven. What a privilege. But do you know that if you are a Christian, you too have received a special call? Maybe not a call to be a prophet like Jonah or like Jeremiah or like Elisha and Elijah, but you have received a special call. You have been called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. And you too, then, like those prophets, are to be a spokesperson for the Lord Jesus Christ and to be a witness. And that is a great privilege. You also, like Jonah, have received special companions. Of course, we have the fellowship of other believers and other friends within our churches. But you know there's a greater companion than that. You have the Lord Jesus Christ Himself as your friend and as your companion. Jesus Himself said to those who follow Him, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And that is a great privilege. How are you using the great privileges that God has given you? Are you using that privilege to glorify Him and to serve Him more and more each day? Well, we find another gift that was given to Jonah as well, and that was the gift of opportunity. Jonah was given a great opportunity as prophet to speak the word of God to the very king of his nation. And in this opportunity, Jonah was found faithful. For according to verse 25 of our text this morning, God spake by the hand of his servant Jonah. We find Jonah being faithful to the opportunity that God has given him. He was faithful in his setting. Now, although being a prophet was a great privilege, sometimes being a prophet was not always popular. The prophet Jeremiah, in fact, was forcibly exiled to Egypt. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. The prophet Isaiah was killed and martyred, probably by being sawn in two. It wasn't always popular to be a prophet of God. But Jonah was called to be a prophet during a very difficult and dark time in his people's history. In fact, if you look back at verse 24, it reminds us about King Jeroboam and who this Jeroboam really was. It says that he, Jeroboam II, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. In fact, he departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that first Jeroboam who made Israel to sin. You see, the setting in which Jonah lived and served as the prophet of God, it was a spiritually dark time in Israel. And the king himself was spiritually dark and evil. Now, what words would God give Jonah during this time? What words would Jonah then have to deliver over to the king? And then would the king listen? And would the king obey? What we find is Jonah faithfully serving God as his prophet, even in those very dark and difficult times. He was faithful in his setting. The setting in which God placed him, the time and the place that he wanted him to be. But Jonah was also faithful in his speech, in his words, and in what he said. Again, in verse 25, God spake his word. How? By Jonah. Now, this, after all, was what a prophet was supposed to do. In fact, another prophet by the name of Micaiah in 2 Chronicles 18:13 said this, "As the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak." That was to be the response of a prophet of God. To take what God was giving them and to speak it. So Jonah was faithful as a prophet. Jonah himself spoke the word of the Lord that was given to him. And he did so even in those difficult and dark times. Jonah was also faithful in his service. Another description of Jonah there in verse 25 is this: his servant. Whose servant? God's servant. You see, God had a special mission for Jonah to accomplish. And so Jonah performed his service here faithfully. But of course, we also know, having read through the book of Jonah before, that Jonah himself was just a man. He was not perfect. He still had a lot to learn. But at this point in his ministry, there in 2 Kings, Jonah had learned to be faithful in the opportunities that God gave him to serve. But what about you? What do you do with the opportunities that you have been given by God? The opportunity to serve God in whatever small or large ministry that He's given to you, whether it's at home or at your work or even here through the church. What about the opportunities that God has given you to witness for Him? And even the opportunity simply to be the light and the salt that Jesus Christ has called you to be. What do you do with those opportunities? Philippians 2:15 says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. This is our opportunity as believers in Jesus Christ, to shine as lights in the world. How are you using those opportunities that God has given you? Are you glorifying Him in your life and in your service? Are you serving Him to the extent that you are able? Another gift given to Jonah was the gift of success. Now, this gift is not always given to the people of God, but here on occasion, God does give measures of success. What will you do with the success that God gives you? Well, one thing that we see here in 2 Kings 14 is that Jonah, even though it was a spiritually dark time in Israel, Jonah was a successful prophet at this point in his ministry. At least a measure of success to the people there in Israel. In fact, look at the prophecy that God gave to Jonah right there in 2 Kings 14:25. Now, it's talking about King Jeroboam, that wicked king, Jeroboam II, how he restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath under the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which He spake by the hand of His servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. You see, the prophecy of Jonah at this point was not a prophecy of judgment, like so many other prophets had received from God. No, here it was a prophecy of national progress, of national restoration. Jonah was God's spokesperson to tell Israel that God was going to give it back much of the land it had lost to the Syrians. And then God even used that wicked King Jeroboam II to fulfill this promise. And more than likely, as a result of his prophecy, Jonah would have then experienced a measure of popularity. Here, Jonah becomes the prophet of Israel's restoration, not judgment. And the news that he gave was good news to his people. Now, he probably had a great reputation before the people, and even before the king himself. You see, just a few years earlier, another wicked king by the name of Ahab asked the prophet Elijah this question: "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Again, not all prophets were popular. But here and now, the prophet Jonah was the one who brought news of Israel's success and progress. And so he probably had a measure of popularity there in Israel. But along with that, he also probably had a measure of prosperity. He would have been able to live very comfortably during this golden age of the northern kingdom, where Jeroboam II reigned for 41 years and was able to expand his coasts. And Jonah would have enjoyed that progress. In fact, in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, it even appears that he would have had enough money to pay the fare to go to one of the farthest destinations of the known world at that time, Tarshish. And that would not have been a cheap ticket. And perhaps this is one reason why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. Because of his newfound popularity and reputation and even prosperity, he wouldn't want to lose all that by having to go to Nineveh. But as we all know, this kind of success never really lasts, does it? It is short-lived and it will quickly fade away. You see, also according to our text this morning, Jonah was from the town of Gath-Hepher. Now, Gath-Hepher was a small village just 3 miles or so from another town called Nazareth, where Jesus himself grew up. And both of those towns, Gath-Hepher and Nazareth, were in the region that is known as Galilee. Yet, in the time of Jesus, in John chapter 7, verse 52, several Pharisees said this to Nicodemus. They said, "Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." Had these Pharisees forgotten about Jonah? Or perhaps they knew about Jonah and they had disowned Jonah. Because after his great prophecy about the success of Israel, Jonah would then be sent by God to Nineveh, a wicked city that would eventually cause the downfall of Israel. Success in this world is so fleeting and so temporary. So what do you do with a measure of success that you have been given by God, especially as believers in this country? Now you may experience and have experienced times of popularity, but are you using that popularity for the Lord? Or are you just using it for yourself to kind of even get further ahead? You may experience times of prosperity, but are you giving what you have back to the Lord? Or are you just keeping it for yourself? How are you using the successes that you've been given by God? Are you using your successes, even successes from the world standpoint, to glorify God and to serve Him better? That's what Jonah was able to do during this time. Remember, though, success in this world is so fleeting and so temporary. Use what you've been given by God now before you don't have it any longer. But you know the greatest gift given to Jonah was the gift of grace. The gift of grace. Jonah experienced in this time in his ministry the free grace of God firsthand. He received God's grace personally when he was converted as a believer in the Messiah. He received God's grace personally in this special call to be a prophet of God. But he also experienced God's grace with this prophecy that he was given there in 2 Kings 14:25. You see, Jonah himself was a citizen of Israel. And he had experienced that period of expansion and prosperity himself. But why did God give him this prophecy to begin with? After all, their leader, Jeroboam II, was a wicked king. And the people were worshiping idols at this time. So why would God promise to restore the coast of Israel at all? Well, the answer to that question is found in verses 26 and 27 of 2 Kings 14. It is this: "For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter. For there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord said, not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them." He saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. God saved Israel through Jeroboam only because of His grace and mercy to them. It was through His great compassion for His people. Again, look at verse 26. It says, "For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter." Now the northern kingdom of God's people were facing great perils from the nation of Syria during this time, and they were also experiencing great poverty as well. It was very bitter, it says. It even describes how the population, the people of the northern kingdom, had dwindled. There was, by this time, hardly anyone in the streets, and even hardly anyone in the prisons. And there was no one to help them. There was no one to come and help them overcome their oppression by the Syrians. And God saw this, and He had great compassion for them, even though they were still sinning against Him. And then He showed them His grace and told His people about that grace through Jonah. God's grace was also seen through His great commitment to His people. His great commitment. Again, verse 27 says, "And the Lord said not that He would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven." You see, God had chosen these people for His own people. And although they disobeyed God and rejected God over and over and over again, God never rejected them. And so, He showed them His grace and used the prophet Jonah once again to tell them. But God's grace was also seen through His covenant with His people. His covenant. You see, God had made a covenant with Abraham many, many years before, as well as his seed. And God always keeps His promises. Just a few decades earlier, in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 23, we read this, "And the Lord was gracious unto them," who? His people. "The Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and had respect unto them." Why? Because of His covenant, His promise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast He them from His presence as yet. And so, God showed both Jonah and all of Israel His abundant and free grace. And in verse 27, it says that God saved His people by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Jonah knew firsthand the grace and mercy of God. He was God's prophet. He was God's spokesman. And he even saw it in the life of His people. And when you go to the very end of the book of Jonah, in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, Jonah even tells God what he knows about Him. And this is what he says, "For I knew, God, that Thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." Jonah experienced the grace of God firsthand. But haven't you also experienced the grace of God? In so many ways, and at so many times in your life, grace is the goodness of God given to you and to me when we least deserve it. And do you know that God had compassion on you and love for you? This is seen very clearly in the reason why Jesus came in Romans 5:8. "But God commendeth and displayed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners," even when we were His enemies and had rejected Him and rebelled against Him, "even then, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God had compassion on us and loves us, and that is grace. But do you know that God has also made a commitment to you? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Listen to what 1 Peter 5:10 says to you. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us," just like the call that He gave to Jonah, "He has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that ye have suffered a while, May he make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. This commitment that God has made to his people is his grace. But the greatest display of grace is when God himself sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to save you and to save me. And all of this is completely undeserved. It's grace. And yet, do you still forget about his grace? Or do you still ignore his grace? Do not despise God's grace to you. Romans 2:4 asks this question, do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Do not despise his grace to you. Instead, receive it and respond to it and then share it with others. You know, several years ago, there was an elderly woman that I had for one of my banking and investment clients. She was worth millions of dollars. And she was a good and profitable customer. But she was also a very sour and stingy and a very demanding person. There were a lot of people in the bank that didn't want to have anything to do with her, and I was able to adopt her as my own customer. But one time she applied for a business loan, and in going through the documents, we had to look at some of her tax returns, and I found out why she was rich. And at the same time, I found out why she was miserable. You see, she had never given any of her money away to help others. There was no charity giving, and there was no church giving either. But how often are we like that spiritually with what God has given to us? We're stingy. So what are you doing with what you've been given by God? Like Jonah, you have been given great privileges. You, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you have been called to be His child. And you have also been commissioned to be His servant. You've been given great opportunities. Opportunities to freely share what you've been given by God through the gospel. We have been given great successes and great amazing grace. You and I have been given so much. But what are we doing with it today? Are we hoarding it and keeping it to ourselves? Are you squandering it and not using it at all? Or are you using it like Jonah did at this stage in his ministry to serve the Lord and to glorify the Lord? When we think about all these gifts that we've been given, let's remember Luke 12:48, when Jesus himself says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the privilege of looking into your word and seeing the great gifts that you have given to each one of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Lord, when we consider Jonah, and we consider all the great gifts that you gave him, the great privilege to be a prophet, the great opportunity to share your word, the great success that he had, and prosperity and popularity, and even the great amazing grace. And we see how much our gifts are like the gifts you gave Jonah. Oh, Father, help us to see that for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Help us, Lord, not to squander the gifts that you've given to us. Help us, Lord, not to hoard the gifts that you've given to us. But, Lord, help us to use them in a way that will honor you and glorify you and serve you and to share your word abroad to more and more people. Oh, Father, I pray that you'll help us not to be stingy with it, but to be liberal with it. Thank you, Lord, for the great gift of your grace, the great gift of the privileges that we have to be your children, the great opportunities that you give us to share and to serve, and even the great successes that we enjoy today. And I pray, O Lord, that you'll help each one of us to use it the way you intended. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.